Todd Halpin joins us in studio. Todd, good to see you.
Morning, Ryan. Good to be here, man. First time in the studio.
That stunned me. I was sure we've had you in a billion times, but that is incorrect. This is your maiden voyage at the downtown studios at Sportsnet 960.
Yeah, maiden voyage to actually work, but I've been here for a few events. Wasn't the Food Fest,
the original. Yeah. That's right. And you've got a buddy on the phone line, Jamie Reimer. Sir, are you there?
How are we doing, guys?
Good. It's not often that we get the phone line and in studio, but it's not often that we see a golfer who essentially evaporated for 4 years flash back onto the scene in terms of Tiger Woods' top finish since 2013. And Todd, we also had a Canadian rookie on the tour leading through 54 holes in Corey Connors. This is an unbelievable weekend for men's golf.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And welcome to Jamie for coming on the show. Corey Connors, what a story. He's another graduate of the Golf Canada National Team program, and I was lucky enough to be a part of that in 2007, followed the year before was Graham Dillette, and other PGA Tour winners like Mac Hughes, Nick Taylor, and obviously now Corey Connors playing quite well are all graduates of the program, so it's pretty awesome for Jamie and I to get to be involved with that, maybe a bit more on a local level here in Calgary at the Golf Centre.
So, Jamie, give us a little background. The Golf Canada High Performance Program, a lot of this support isn't new, but maybe the techniques and the levels at which you're supporting elite talent has changed a bit. What's your role? And generally speaking, give us the overview of the whole program.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm the head coach for the Strive program at Golf Canada Calgary Center. So we kind of take in high-quality players and give them all the resources possible, to play their best, get the most out of their game. So, very exciting.
As for Connors, he's now one of, you noted, Todd, some guys that have come up through the program. Guys like Mike Weir didn't have this program available at the higher levels. They didn't have that, you know, that touring young pro team that they have now. We've chatted with their head coach over the recent years. Is this where all of our best players are? Is this now the funnel that's going to get everyone to the PGA if you're Canadian and you're going to make it?
Yeah, it's certainly a big part of it. Unless you're funded and coached privately, it is very challenging to make it all the way to like a world-class level of PGA or web.com. Each year they modify things a little bit. I know when I played, I think we had 8 players on the men's team, and we had 4 of them over the age of 25. So it didn't really work for the funnel. We were all a bit too old to some degree. So each year they tweak things a little bit and just make that path a little better for them. Like right now we have a professional development team. So there are guys that are part of the program that are actually on the PGA Tour. So it's way more of a stepping stone system instead of just dropping off once you, turn 18 or turn 20.
Jamie, what were your thoughts following this weekend's play with Connors and seeing this, what I'm calling the golden era of Canadian golf? I mean, it's weird to say it because we haven't seen huge numbers of wins, but we are seeing 7-8 guys in some tournaments that are Canadian. It's not that long ago there was Weir or David Barr or maybe 2 guys for an event. There are a ton of Canadian pros on the PGA right now.
Yeah, it just goes to show you kind of the quality talent that's coming out from some of our high performance systems, and it's kind of exciting. I mean, yeah, they're not winning every week, but that's hard to do on the PGA Tour. But you're seeing their names kind of climb the board week after week. So it's pretty awesome for Golf Canada and just all Canadians, I think.
Were you watching closely this weekend? It was neat to see him lead after 18 and then, oh my gosh, a lead into the weekend, late tee time. Still has the lead after Saturday. Were you texting all kinds of buddies in the program? Was this something that everyone was watching with pride?
Yeah, I was pretty excited to watch it. I've spent quite a bit of time down at Innisbrook, so know the golf course really well. It's kind of one of those golf courses you can kind of plot around, and Connors is pretty good at that. I think he was at Kent State doing like a math scholarship, so he knows how to play a golf course. So,
Todd, yourself watching this one, what stuck out for you for Connors?
Just his composure, mostly. Anyone at that level can get hot for one day, and on a Thursday morning before any expectations kick in, you can fire a little round and lead even a PGA Tour event after one, but to do it after 3 days is pretty impressive, especially considering he wasn't even in the tournament. He missed the qualifier Monday and got a call late Monday night for a sponsor exemption and was able to score a spot. So
He has me to thank for that, by the way. I don't know that Corey knows that.
Oh, you made a call.
I picked Kevin Na as fantasy golf. When I'm cursing players now. Every week I pick a player for fantasy golf, I've cursed them. So Na, of course, withdrew from the tournament after he'd heard that I'd picked him. That opened up a spot for Connor. So you're also, welcome, Canada.
Also because we put a bet on it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That, did we put the little wager on last week?
Yeah, sure did. You picked Na, I picked Hadwin. And
Hadwin did a little better than the guy that didn't start the tournament.
Yeah, and ironically, Hadwin ended up beating Corey Connors this week.
He did.
So yeah, it just goes to show you got to play a full four rounds to place well on tour.
What happened Sunday to him?
Oh, boy, that's a loaded question. I think, you know, he got a little bit nervous, obviously playing right beside Tiger Woods and seeing something like that. How can you prepare for that kind of thing? You just have to go through it. Hopefully you can pull it off. I think the first...
Sorry.
Well, there's Dean. Yeah. We're talking golf, Dean. Oh, you're out of your element. Yeah. There's Todd. Yeah. Tastefully named Todd Halpin.
I just got to click that right there.
Yeah. Log out.
Log out.
That's not safe for work.
You had all that.
Grab my water bottle.
Is that your wife? Why is that picture there? Okay. Interesting.
Sorry, guys. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what happened to Connors on the first hole.
Now, Jamie,
just rattled.
You can talk and teach and try to put your students in situations similar to that, but there's nothing that could replicate what he was probably feeling on Sunday. Never mind, he talked about it with Adam Stanley, one of the good golf reporters we have in this country, who had an article with him yesterday saying he must have got hundreds and hundreds of texts, support from everyone. I mean, this was not just another Sunday on a golf course for Corey.
No, I think, you know what, you just need to go through it and feel that experience. You know, I think he bogeyed the first hole. It's a pretty easy par five, and that doesn't really start your day off well. And you know, it's tough. I think we remember Mike Weir doing something similar way back, shooting an 80 with playing with Tiger. And you know, it's you can't really prepare for that. You just got to go through the experience.
Tell us about some of the other Canadian studs that have come through the program, and any that perhaps you've had the chance to teach or mentor along the way, because there are a bunch now on tour.
Yeah, there's you know, obviously Adam Hadwin, there's been Mackenzie Hughes. These guys aren't Calgary guys per se, but they're kind of they're kind of Golf Canada members, and there's a bunch coming up through the program. I think in 5 years, 10 years, we're going to start seeing even more players. Some of the guys in my program I'm pretty excited about. So you know, you never really know how far they're going to take it, but who's to say we don't have, you know, even more pack leaderboard 10 years down the road?
That'd be unreal. And you know what? Like, that's not a weird statement. Like, I would agree with you. We've seen, like, what, Taylor Pendrith's a guy whose name has been out, and we see at the RBC every year. Jared Dutoit had that incredible run as an amateur at the RBC 2 summers ago. He is now off to PGA Latin America. I just sent him a note. He's in Guatemala getting set to start that one. Like, there's some kids on the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, he kind of inspired fans a couple years ago at that Canadian Open. I think you're going to keep seeing stuff like that happen. So it's very exciting.
Finally, Jamie, just a thought. If people want more information on the program or are curious as to how it works, because we've talked about it a bit today, the high performance for Golf Canada, where's the info?
Yeah, absolutely. Just Golf Canada, calgarycenter.ca. They can kind of get all the info under junior programming, Strive for Excellence programming. Definitely still accepting high-performance players, and that'd be great if anyone wanted to contact me.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your contributions today. We're going to keep Todd around to talk about Tiger, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Bender.
See ya. Jamie Reimer from Golf Canada, one of your cohorts at the Golf Canada Center in Calgary, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Him and I work at the academy there full-time. It's pretty nice to have a guy like Jamie around every day.
So, if I'm correct, and I'll paraphrase from what I was told, there was support for elite golfers in the country, but there wasn't a huge capacity for a ton of golfers. And then when you get to a certain level, it was just like, okay, well, now you're a pro, so off on your own, into the wilderness you go. There now seems to be more support for players that have graduated to pro ranks. And I would think at the grassroots level, you've got capacity for more players to be in an elite program. Is that accurate on both fronts?
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate. I know the PGA of Canada has worked closely with Golf Canada on this because, you know, PGA of Canada is going to represent the pros at your golf course. So there's definitely more of a stream. And, you know, looking back to 2007 when I was really involved with the program as a player, basically that's right. It was support as you were an amateur. As soon as you turned pro, it essentially dropped off. So each year they've made the transition a little bit easier because golf's not easy. It takes a long time. You know, you could be 27, 28 years old before you're ready to compete on tour. And that's 10 years after you graduate from high school. So we can't just have that immediate drop off when you turn professional.
So Connors is 26. How would you, is he a great golf prospect at 26? Is he now a young pro? How much ceiling is there to achieve for him?
Oh, the sky's the limit for Corey. I think he's played, I'm going to get the numbers maybe not bang on here, but like 13 or 14 PGA Tour events, and he's made the cut a lot. I think something like 10 cuts this year, but his swing reminds me of Chris Kirk. Very rhythmic and maybe not suited for all the conditions.
Boy, it's a slow tempo swing. Yeah. Hey, I was absolutely mesmerized by that. Like, he is not taking a rip at the ball. I mean, that is more metronome than, you know, taking a cut.
Yeah, it's a very unique style. It's very effective, I think, when it's not windy, but, you know, it'd be tough to see him play in 40, 50K winds in Europe, maybe in the British Open, or even, you know, some of the events on coastal cities in the United States where the wind can pick up. He's going to get, you know, I think maybe blown over a little bit, but I could be wrong. Just kind of basing off the similar style of Chris Kirk on that one. But I was thinking of a, you know, Corey Connors and getting used to playing with Tiger Woods. Patrick Reed has an interesting strategy to prepare to play with Tiger. Dresses just like him.
Is that the move?
Yeah, he's been wearing red on Sundays and three sizes too big.
It worked well until 18 on Sunday, didn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of people cheering for that putt to fall back down the hill again.
No kidding. Listen, we buried the lead. We're going to talk about Tiger. We'll come back. How significant was Tiger's being in contention to the popularity of the tournament and the sport? Here's what you need to know. The ratings for the final round of the majors last year, the Masters drew a 7.6. All the others are between 3 and 4. So those are the four biggest tournaments of the year. Masters, big number, 7.6. The other one's about half that. The Valspar, which is a stop on tour that Tiger happened to show up to. This is not a sexy event. It's one of many. It's not one of the big ones. It's not a massive purse. They drew a 5.1 rating. Tiger's back, and it is huge for golf. We'll come back and talk about his performance on the weekend with Todd Halpin from the Golf Canada Center here in Calgary at Golf Pro YYC. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Did I nail it? I nailed it. It's funny. Last year was such an early start. I feel like we were almost golfing at this time last year. Might be exaggerating a bit, but there were multiple courses open in March, were there not?
Oh, yeah, there definitely were. I was looking at some swing videos from last March, and there's no snow on the ground at the Golf Center.
Ugh.
Yeah, big difference.
Now, you're saying you're still busy? There's still nuts going out in minus 10, and you guys are like full boat?
Yeah, pretty much been a packed house there since Friday, and don't anticipate it slowing down. So, yeah, we're going to be open 9 to 9, basically 7 days a week here. So, come on down and get
tuned up.
Yeah, get tuned up before your golf course is open in 6 weeks.
6 weeks, that's probably it, eh?
Yeah, between, who knows, man.
Yeah, it's true. This city, don't even try to guess the weather. It's a complete waste of breath. We'll move along. Hey, listeners out there, listen to me. Listen, listeners. Listen up, listeners. Wednesday, March 28th, Grey Eagle Resort and Casino, the Children's Wish Foundation Poker Tournament. Great, great, great cause, clearly. Everyone knows about the Children's Wish Foundation, granting wishes to young people with life-threatening illnesses. I can't watch these videos anymore. Ever since I had kids, I turn into a puddle. I start crying. I'm losing my mind. Even when they do the military thing in the States, they were doing that in Tampa at the hockey games when I was down there last week. Just cannot keep it together. Great causes, clearly. Win a seat at the table for you and a friend. Go to our website, Sportsnet Nation. Log on. Win your spot, sportsnet.ca/960. And, of course, you can call them as well for more information on the tournament at the Children's Wish Foundation. Contest closes at the end of next week. We'll choose our winner March 19th, end of this week. Wow, it's coming up quick. Very good. Back to the golf conversation. Todd Halpin joins us in studio. We're talking off air. Who's going to win what tournaments? You know, Tiger is now back after finishing second, his best result since 2013 on Sunday. Phil won earlier this month, or I guess last month. You have an incredible group of young players on tour. Sergio got his first major a year ago. He'll defend the first of the four majors in Augusta come April 5th, I believe. This could be, and I've been saying this for a little bit, but now especially since Tiger's in the mix, even before Tiger, this had the recipe to be one of the great masters of all time, and now Tiger's going to be in the mix? Are you kidding me? This could be unbelievable.
Yeah, you really can't script a better comeback story for Phil or Tiger, especially when we have Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson battling for number one in the world. And, you know, we still see some struggles. Jordan Spieth can't seem to hold a putt. Dustin Johnson's been kind of mediocre, but, you know, DJ is still a guy that I think could really take over. But again, he wasn't really presented with this Phil resurgence and this Tiger comeback of epic proportions. So, yeah, we're going to look back at 2018 as hopefully, I'm hoping for it, one of the craziest, best years of golf ever.
I like the way you framed it. So over the past year, there haven't been better golfers on earth than Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas. Those two have been lights out. You could mix in John Rahm to that class, right? He's now not a rookie on tour. You can put him in that over the last the last 12 months. Those are the best three golfers in the world, essentially, right?
Yeah, but then again, Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy are going to say, hello, no.
So again, tier one would be the guys who were hot in the last year, those right. three. Next tier would be the guys over the last 4 years have been the best golfers on earth. That's Jordan Spieth and
Justin Rose.
Rose, McIlroy. Like, there's another tier. And now you wrinkle in the vets that have come back to life. Garcia wins his first major. Phil wins at 47. Tiger second and back looking like a pro, not like a chop that's collecting promotional checks. He was awful in numerous prior comeback attempts. This one is legit. The fusing of his two vertebrae is, he's old Tiger. The club head speed is back. All kinds of notes like that. If you're watching the data, like, this is looking like old Tiger, not like comeback Tiger.
Yeah, definitely. The stats are out now. He's played enough rounds for some of those numbers to count. And yeah, they're pretty impressive. Definitely not earth-shattering by any means. But again, he hasn't been winning every tournament. So, you know, pretty impressive to see those numbers, especially short game. The one that really makes me, you know, scratch my head a little bit here is the 129-mile-an-hour club head speed. That is absurd. If I rip the cover off of it, I get to 119, 120. So, like, I think 129 was the highest measured on tour this year by Tiger Woods.
Tiger,
like, are you kidding
40s.
Me? Yeah, it's unbelievable.
What did you see this weekend from him?
I saw composure. I saw, actually, like, the attitude was a lot better. You know, he just seemed to have a really positive demeanor, and, you know, was really enjoying being out there instead of, you know, maybe falling back into some bad habits or, you know, starting to reflect on some of the reasons that he was out for so long. I mean, we kind of forget that he had a DUI not that long ago. Like,
it wasn't booze. It was this cocktail of pills that he had in his system.
We'll
really know. That might have been a major issue in his life. He was in some dark times. There was a few people on tour that voiced their concern for Tiger.
Yeah, definitely. And, I'm hoping that his role in the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup, and, you know, just kind of embracing that captain role is something that's helped him through those things. I mean, he's done so much for golf. I know a lot of people, millions probably, wouldn't even care about golf if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. So it's good to see him back, and it's good to see him contending. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm just loving that Phil Mickelson's there too. It's pretty exciting. You think Vijay will come around?
Vijay's a little longer than the tooth. He'll be coming back to Calgary maybe for the Shaw. That we saw him last year at that one. So he's not quite the same age range. But again, we listed off the nine names: Rahm, Johnson, Thomas, Spieth, Rose, McIlroy, Garcia, Woods, Mickelson. Of those nine, if you could have two or three final groups with some of those names in there, I just think, maybe I'm crazy and I'm just skewing everything to the present, but I can't recall a Masters that has the potential to be as epic as this one.
Yeah, I can't either. You know, when you have that many guys ranked that high and playing well and suiting, you know, their game suit Augusta, you know, you can't really go wrong. And Jordan Spieth has won there a few times. And so all he needs is a bit of a click with the putter and he could be right in the mix too.
As for Tiger, you were noting that Jamie, who we had on the line, thinks the U.S. Open might be the fit. If he's going to win a major this year, that course seems to suit him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jamie brought up a few good points when we were chatting last night about Shinnecock, especially the U.S. Open venue this year. It's a much shorter golf course. You know, it was won in 2004 by Retief Goosen, and, you know, it's 7,000 yards only.
Why does short help Tiger, or does it?
Well, it does help him because he can hit tee shots without a driver. He'll hit driving iron, maybe some hold-off three-woods, and basically just get it in play. And, you know, the stats support how good his short game is and has been the last couple of weeks, so he might lean on it.
So taking the driver out of his hand would be the benefit of a shorter track.
Yeah, one little flinch or miss with the driver and you're out of bounds, so you're going to pay the price with a two-stroke penalty.
As for this week, what, Bay Hill? Arnold Palmer, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, first time Tiger will be back there since Arnold passed. And, you know, it's going to be pretty exciting to see him there for a number of reasons. One being he's won it 8 times. That's absurd.
He is a guy that has certain tracks and tournaments that he just seems to dominate. So the Tiger storyline is not going away this week, you're telling me.
Oh, it's only ramping up. And, you know, it's kind of funny that we've had this whole show. We haven't even talked about who won last week. Paul Casey. That's the Tiger effect right there, folks. So, yeah, Tiger coming back this week. Coming back to the Bay Hill this week. Coming off of second place. I mean, Jamie said he was going to pick Tiger right now. And don't even worry about the Masters or Shinnecock. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Other names to look at. In terms of some of the stats that seem to play well at the Bay Hill, Adam Scott showing up. Alex Noren's been red hot of late. I see Tommy Fleetwood. He's always good when he comes over. I mean, he's not a full season guy, but he's played well when he's been in North America. Who else jumps out at you?
Henrik Stenson's a name that jumps out because he's played very well here, and he was supposed to play well last week. I know that his numbers at the Valspar were quite good. So similar conditions, similar grass, and you know, it was just off a little bit last week. So probably looking to show up this week. And you know, Jason Day has sat out for a little bit here, so it'll be good to see him back in the mix this week too.
Already got a win this year as well for Day, so that certainly 2018 already better than 2017 was.